Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Every school report I had as a kid had a consistent criticism leveled at me. Social butterfly, lacks focus. In my defense, some of those teachers were knobheads, but as we're amongst friends, there was probably an element of truth as well. My nature is to magpie, to chase the shiny things, to look for the next thing. For me, that's how I view growth. It's the thing I find most exciting. But to actually grow and to sustain that growth, sometimes you have to knuckle down and focus. You have to cut out the noise and do the thing.
I'm Joe Glover, founder of The Marketing Meetup, a global community that connects and educates over 20,000 marketers in the most lovely way possible. Everything we do it to put the human beings we help first.
I'm Richard Wood. I lead the marketing agency Six & Flow. I've worked in marketing for around 19 years now, and I'm a massive believer in that marketers should be trying to engage with people on a human level, not just treating them as leads and numbers in a spreadsheet.
In a different way, I've been struggling with focus recently, trying to figure out what is the thing I would like to achieve, to focus on. It's been a daily exercise in reflection. Things are going well, but could they be going even better if I nailed down in one specific direction? I don't have the answers in this episode, so today we can explore together. And I guess that's an opportunity for Rich to give us some context on focus, you know, and why you felt like it was important for us to discuss today.
So where this original thought came from is, I can't remember where it was, but I was sat in this exact booth. I remember where I physically was, but I can't remember when we spoke about this. But you were about to launch. So we were having our like normal catch up before we do one of these recordings. Like we hang out for a bit and just chat shit about all sorts of stuff. But I won't go into what we've just talked about. But at the time, you said to me, you were like, I'm launching the training school, like the TMN training school. I think you were launching in new regions. You were about to launch a new round of your like morning to like the webinar series. And you had a shitload going on. And I think there was more outside of that as well. Like, but they're the ones I remember, so the others can't have been that important. But the and I said to you, I was like, Joe, it sounds like a fucking lot. And like you are going to exhaust yourself, like you're gonna run out of steam at some point. And that's where that original thought came through. And we talked about briefly, not in any sort of profound way, but we talked about like that knuckling down and focusing on an element and actually being quite good about it. So that's where the like original thought came from. But then more recently, like personally, I've been, recently our ops director has come back from maternity leave. So up until that point, I was covering elements of her job, still doing my job. And now she's come back and our growth director is now on mat leave, so I'm now doing more of her job. And what I've noticed going between those different roles is I'm really fucking shit at doing multiple roles at the same time, and the only way I can do it is if I cut them up into pieces and focus. And that's like, I remember ages ago, maybe it was one of those business self-helpy type books or whatever, but it was talking about somebody who had sliced up their calendar that like Monday, Tuesday, they do sale, like new biz. Wednesday, Thursday, they do existing customers. Friday, they work on the business itself, like that kind of thing. And I think that, for me, what I've realized covering those different roles is I enjoy all those different roles. I enjoy the variety. But unless I'm, like, actually focused on the thing, it's a lot of wheel spinning. Like, I don't actually get to the point where I feel like I'm delivering the value that I could deliver.
Yeah. So what does it feel like for you, like when you're working in that sort of like prime zone? So like, I mean, like you started your introduction by sort of saying lacks focus, but then you sort of spoke about the things that you find exciting and stuff like that. I mean, like, if we're sort of speaking about what is the ideal place to be in, you know, when you're focused, I mean, is it a feeling where you're just like, fuck, I'm being productive right now, or is there something a little bit more to it for you when you're sort of speaking about the Nirvana of focus for you?
So I think when I'm in that kind of like that sweet spot, I think I probably there's no thinking around it. So like, as in, nice. I think when I'm not in that space, I think there's almost like a existential dread or like anxiety that fuck, I'm gonna drop a ball here. Like there's a plate that's gonna crash, and it's just because I haven't been able to focus on it, and like I haven't got enough time or the time I would like to focus on this. And I think that's so. It's probably more of the negative that I'm aware of than I am of the positive. But then equally, after the event, so after the moment where I have been in that kind of like prime zone of getting stuff done, that's when I feel like there's an achievement. I get to the end of the day, I'm like, fucking hell, I nailed that to-do list today. Like, I've absolutely smashed through that. Where's all that gone? And that's, I think that's how that kind of transpires for me. So the growth element, so the first 2 years of as a business, I was the only salesperson in the business. Then we brought in Charlotte, who's now our growth director, and she's led on that. When, like, I've been involved in the sales process the whole way through, like, I get brought into certain deals. Some clients only want to speak to kind of MD type stuff sometimes, strategic clients, things like that. But now that I'm back into it, I get a real buzz out of it. Like, I really enjoy the process, but it's when my attention is divided, that's when it starts to get really stressful again, because I'm still doing my MD job. I'm still involved in I'm still involved in client delivery on some of our clients, because our strategy director is also on honeymoon at the moment as well. So there's a lot of like immediate roles around me that I'm assisting in and probably doing 30% of the job that they are able to do. And that's the bit that I start to find stressful. And I think that's like on a personal work delivery piece. But if you look at like from a marketing perspective, we talked about this before as well. It's like having that focal point of who you are, what you do, and how you do it. So like, I can't remember how we positioned it, but we were talking about basically you can't be all things to all people, right? Like you can't appeal to everyone to a deep level. Like there needs to be something, and that's where that focal bit comes in. So I think this is kind of about focus for us as individuals and how we work, but also for like marketing and messaging and businesses. Like, what is your focus? Like, how does that work? Because if you are focused, you are going to be way more impactful, in my personal opinion.
And this is it's difficult, this, right? You know, because I think as marketers, we're supposed to spend all of our time sort of like understanding the market, you know, and sort of like understanding the market. And we sort of position ourselves in such a way where, you know, our product or service, our solution is communicated in such a way where it solves the need for a customer. And we're like, you know what, this thing that we're doing is going to improve your life in a certain way. But then I think there's also this other element, right, which is what you've been speaking about a lot more here, which is like this personal focus. And I think this is also playing into our context as founders, which is like, as founders, like, we're kind of a little bit used to kind of doing what we want to do to a certain extent, you know, and sort of picking our path and sort of like saying, you know, like, this is the thing I would like to do today, and therefore I'm going to be doing that thing. And I think back to that sort of period of time where I was launching those 100 things at once, you know, and like a lot of it was stuff I was really excited about, but there were some things that I was also doing because I thought people wanted it. You know, and it was actually in that particular circumstance where like some of my energy felt like it was being diverted away from, you know, the thing that I'm good at, and was just starting to be things that I was doing because I thought it was the right thing to do. And so like this whole issue of focus is just really interesting, because I think actually what we're speaking about is, to a certain extent, is like energy management. It's about sort of like nailing down into like the thing that we feel like we're like, you know, almost like galloping through, you know, it's almost like just intuitive sort of like bosh, 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 you know, and it's sort of like, it just works because we're sort of doing stuff that speaks to ourselves and our souls a little bit. And like when you're in that place, it's just wicked. You know, it's really, really good. And I just feel, you know, I can think about times, particularly I think for me, I feel probably peak focus if I'm like stood at the front of a room and like sort of presenting or speaking, you know, to a marketing meetup audience. Like for me, like I can almost feel like the beats as I'm speaking. And, you know, I'm not saying that it comes across that way. I'm not saying that I'm like this amazing speaker, but I can feel it in myself. I'm 100% nailed in, you know, to that thing right there. And that's a wicked feeling, you know, and it feels like it's impactful because, you know, sometimes people come to you afterwards and sort of say, you know what, that introduction was really good and it set the tone for tonight, and tonight was a wicked night, you know, and stuff like that. So I think it's just, it's a really interesting place to be in, but when you're in it, it feels bloody amazing.
Have you ever heard the fable or whatever of Eat the Frog? I can't remember what it's called, but it's about like eating the frog.
Just so doing like, the thing that's on your list.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So like do the shitty thing first, because then you don't have to think about the rest of it. And I think that's where I think as founders, and I do it all the time, like I focus on the shit that I want to focus on, like you just said there, because I enjoy it. And my drivers in the business aren't financial. There's like loads of other things that are my drivers. And a primary one is enjoying the process. Like I do this because I enjoy it. And therefore, I have a propensity to, like, if I don't enjoy it, it'll be last on the list.
I think
that for me is a mistake, because I then have all the shit in, like, what inevitably happens is my to-do list is basically distilling down all of the shit I don't like doing. So by the time I get to the end of the day, I end on a really shitty low of, like, oh, I've got to do this bit, and then this bit, and then this bit. And that's, I think, for me, focusing on the shit that I don't want to do first would be way more efficient. But like, and we're talking about us as founders, right? And briefly mentioned marketing there. But I think where we really started to accelerate it as a business is where we started to bring in individuals that were able to focus on the job that needed to be done. So as a growing agency, up until probably about 20 headcount, everybody does a bit of everything. Like we have specialists within and people training and trained up to do different things and different skill sets. But have you ever heard of the T-shaped marketer?
Yeah.
Somebody has a specialism but a broad kind of brush stroke across the top as well. But that,
when you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I think as an agency in the early days, very much like you lean more towards the jack of all trades type element, particularly at a management level. So maybe not like the actual delivery of the work, but the running the company. And that's for us where we really started to accelerate. The first main acceleration point is when we brought on Charlotte, the growth director, because she was focused on sales. She was like that was her KPI, bringing new business. Whereas before, it was a third of my job. And so then as soon as we had that, we had somebody driving that bit. Then the next growth bump was bringing in ops director, so Sarah coming into the business, because she, and don't get me wrong, we're like lots of hard work and people doing great things before that, but these are like the step changes in focus. So Charlotte, then Sarah comes in, she's focusing on the ops, focusing on the people side of the business, and process. So her main elements were people, process, and finance. And that, once we had that taken off my plate and somebody focusing on that, way, 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 way better in terms of how we grow as an agency. And then more recently, we've got people who have come in who own client services. So we have Jaeger, who's with us now, who owns client services. And because she's focused on that, it's growing, it's got direction, it's got real kind of like, we have somebody who we know can be brought into the conversations and is focused on what's happening with the clients, how we're servicing them, how we can make that process better. And at the same time, we've also brought in Nicole, who is our head of delivery. And she is focused on the actual delivering piece. So now, where we used to share all of these, we have people who own sections and they are focused on it. And because they then have like these KPIs, these like focal points, they know exactly what their job is, what their remit is, everything functions better. And the growth rate is just picking up and up and up.
So like for you, were there different stages of finding these focus through these people? So the reason I ask is that I hear what you're saying, and I'm wondering whether like with these first sort of hires that you go through at different stages of your company, then to start off with, it feels almost like these hires are sort of covering your weaknesses as a founder to a certain extent. So if I think about what we've done with the marketing meetup, then Elle, who's come in, is just like phenomenal, and she like picks up all the detail, you know, the stuff which I'm really bad at picking up on. You know, I'm not very good on email, for example, and Elle will respond to emails, which sounds stupid, but you know, like I'm bad at. But then that sort of covers the founder sort of weaknesses. But actually what it speaks about here, which I think is almost the solution to focus to a certain extent, is strategy and like a strategic objective. So like, you know, for you at Six and Flow, it may well have been, you know, growing to X, you know, X pounds per year. It may have been, you know, bring on X new clients per year or whatever it may be. But at some point there must have been like a flip for you where like focus became less about covering your own gaps, you know. So, and I think I'm speaking about focus for Six and Flow here rather than focus for you necessarily, but focus must have been found initially in covering you, and then at some point it must have been switched to focus is, you know, delivering the strategy that Six and Flow require. Is that a fair thing to say?
So my number one principle around like hiring and recruitment is to hire people that are better than me at something. Uh-huh. Like everybody in the business is doing something better. And that, I mean, that now I'm not directly working with people, like they will be better than the team members that they were working with. So there are some overlaps now, but what we've tried to do is bring people into the business that are growing us and pushing us further. Because if you hire people that aren't better than you or are only hired in your image, and the founders, like, and a lot of our first hires were hired in my image because that's what we naturally do. They're the people that we naturally...
What, they were?
Yeah, and that's...
They were a bald, bearded man.
There's a lot of women in this organization. No, there's three of us now, but, you know, it's less than 10%. But that is a stupid way to grow your business because you cap out at... We will never be... Mm-hmm. The sum of the parts will never be greater than the individual. That's stupid, right? So what we've always done is tried to hire people that are better than the existing in the areas that they're coming into. So that's how we initially grew and kind of grew better than an individual consultant, me, at the time, and that kind of growth rate. Then as a business, that's when we start to get more forward planning, more focused on who does what.
Is that the official term? Forward planning.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where, so we use a management structure called EOS. So the Entrepreneur's Operating System. There's for those that don't know it, there's a book called Traction. It's boring as shit to read, but actually the process is really, really good. And there's some other books around it that are slightly more interesting, but that's the gubbins of what the process is. Now, one of those, I can't remember what the tool's called, but you've got like buckets of what people do. Like, you have, this is going to make me sound like a fucking knobhead, but you have the founder, typically, who is, yeah, sits in a role called the visionary role. I hate it, the term, but the visionary role, which is the, like, the ideas guy. The ideas person who has a million ideas and maybe one in a blue moon is any good, but is very much focused on, like, the big picture, the chasing the shiny things. So, and like, if you look at the description, it's basically me in a nutshell. Then you have the integrator. Now, the integrator is the person who actually makes the company run. So, and for us, that's the ops director. And that role is twofold. Is A, making the company run and filtering up the things that the visionary needs to have input into. And at the same time, being a bullshit filter on the way back down as well. So, like, from the visionary to the rest of the company, only focusing on the things that are going to have any real relevance. And then beneath that, you have buckets of functions across the company. So we have ours is split into growth, operations, delivery, and some other ones. And so then we get to the point of, okay, what is the functions within each one of those buckets? And then who owns them? So then we end up with clear remits, and you can start to spot gaps as well. And that's where, with that structure, now we can see where are our gaps, where are there overlaps, where can we kind of move that stuff around. And now that we've got multiple companies within the groups and focuses in different regions, we're now at the point where we're going to reevaluate that and just make sure that we are all kind of firing. Do we have basically enough people in leadership to cover all of that? Do we need to move things around? Do we need to restructure who owns what within that leadership chunk? And that's, for us, has been great because A, it means we're now covering all those different functions, but it also means we can see where are the individual skill gaps as well. So where do we need to train up? Where do we need to, like, get extra support? So we can see that as a mapped out plan.
And so, like, I mean, with that visionary, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, I knew for a long time you view yourself as a visionary. Oh. You know, I mean, like, the first time you introduced such yourself to me, you were wearing a turtleneck, and, you know, you sort of said hello, and, you know. But, like, I mean, in a certain way, it feels like a lack of focus, you know, that sort of magpie sort of idea that you spoke about at the beginning is actually a really beneficial thing, really, if you can build an organizational structure. Yeah, so almost what we're speaking about is, like, focus, then the requirement for focus almost changes over time, and probably with me in my situation with a company of 1.5 to 2 people, sort of like I need to be focused on elements of both, you know, the sort of the quote-unquote visionary stuff, but also, you know, I don't have, like, an integrator, to use your language. But as you sort of grow to the size of the company that you're at now, then actually it's your job to be exploring and sort of setting a new strategic direction every so often, or sort of having these big thoughts that sort of will move you into a place which is different, but also potentially, you know, commercially lucrative or personally fulfilling. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. I think now with the structure of business, we need somebody that can be doing the idea bit, the, like, what's next, the chasing the shiny things, looking at how market positioning, how we're perceived, like, that kind of stuff as well. And I think that's now that we're in that phase of growth, it's great. Like, I really enjoyed the first building stages of being in an agency because I could do that. I could, like, there wasn't a lot of, like, internal admin and processes that needed to be done at that point. There probably were, but we managed to get by without them. Then when we start to get into the point where we needed that stuff but didn't have somebody specialist to do it, that's the stuff I find personally draining. Like, that's the stuff that saps my energy. I can do it. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people I feel like with enough time and focus, I could do most things, but mm-hmm. I don't enjoy them and I don't want to do them. Yeah. And I think there are people who are better at doing them. And that's mm-hmm. when we got to that stage, that's where I think it was, like, if you think about, like, the peaks and troughs of running a business, for me, that was, like, one of the energy troughs. Like, I don't like doing that bit. It's like the trudgery bit for me, just because that's not how I'm geared up. But now that we're kind of coming through that, or, like, the other side, we now have the structure where I have more of that space to do the thing that I am good at. And this comes back to like getting people. So as an organization now, we have the people in the right places to do the things they're good at. And that's where like their focus is aligned with the focus of the business or our mission or our direction, whatever you want to call it. That alignment now means that we can really focus on the growth. And coming back to that EOS model, like you would have heard of OKRs, right? So like a lot of tech companies use them. In EOS, they're called ROCs. So it's basically like the big thing that you're going to focus on in that quarter. And we normally have like 3 to 5 per person. And we have some team-based ones and shit like that. But every quarter, we revisit what is our vision? Where are we trying to get to in the by the end of this year, end of next year, 3 years, 5 years, blah, blah, blah. What are the things that are going to push us towards that? And then we break those down into quarterly rocks. So like those rocks could be like we're launching a new program and then that's broken down into milestones or something like that. And that's, if Pebbles. We get, I think if we get like 70 or 80% of them done, then we would have said this has been a great quarter because we know that we've pushed those things across the line. And it gives people the boundaries to then go, I'm not, like, this is my primary focus. It gives you permission to then say no to the rest of the shit that's going on. So, like, everybody's got their day jobs, but these are the focus. If I get this done, I've had a successful quarter.
Nice. Well, that's you know, I guess it goes back down to that word again, doesn't it? Strategy, really. You know, if you've got a clear idea of where you're going and the thing that you would like to achieve, and then on an individual basis you're able to sort of distribute that through the team and lift your rocks together, then, you know, that's when you start building Stonehenge, Rich. So,
well, so I can project images of the Queen's Jubilee across it.
I would have thought you would have just been projecting images of your visions, you know, onto your adoring masses on the summer solstice or something like that, you know, because, you know, that is how you think of yourself, isn't it? So it's, I don't know why I've woken up and chosen violence this morning. Sorry.
I'm good. You're finally outing yourself for the real Joe Glover.
Yeah. No, I really shouldn't do this in public forums. Anyway, cool. I like that. I think that was an interesting insight into focus. Is there anything else you've got to add, Mr. Wood?
No, you've insulted me. Now I'm leaving. Thanks, Joe. Always a pleasure.
Likewise, my friend. Thank you for that. Really, really interesting. And I hope it was useful for everyone listening in as well. Speak soon.
See you later, everybody.
A change of seasons means adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow, or all of the above on the same day. This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. With all-condition traction and materials and features to keep you comfy and dry no matter what, you'll be ready for anything. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. Allbirds.com, code FRESHSOCKS.